Hey, what's going on, listeners of the Fantasy Flavor Podcast and viewers of the YouTube channel? My name is Mr. Enthusiastic, Dylan Thomas, joined here with two gents.
Hi, this is Nathan.
And Trenton. Hello.
And today we're chatting about fantasy football.
Woo! Yes, sir.
So this first segment, I decided to call it What the Fuck. When literally we talk about five players that just make me want to say, what the fuck's going on, bro?
Yeah.
This first one might be long. I'm kind of scared to see how this one goes. But our first name is Juju. And what the fuck? What do you guys have to say?
Yeah, that's all I have to say, man. What is happening? And what do players do? I mean, as you said multiple times, that this is one player that it's very tough to understand the value in Dynasty. Like, do we sell? Do we buy? I'm scared of selling. I'm scared of buying. I have no idea what to do.
Mm-hmm. And see, it's really difficult because I want to move him down so much, and I'm starting to trend more that way. Like, I've seen, there was a tweet I saw earlier from Curtis Patrick. I said, gave some charts, and since the start of 2019, he's played 17 games, and he's finished as a wide receiver 2 or better, as a wide receiver, not the, a wide receiver 2 or better, in just 4 of them. And he's been wide receiver 3 or worse in 13 out of 17 games. So, I mean, it's like he's not as good as we all initially thought. However, it's hard to move him down so much because at the start of the 2019 campaign, right when we were starting up this channel, we all had him in our top 3 dynasty wide receivers. I mean, it's so hard to move somebody who's your, like, maybe for, in Dylan's case, he was your wide receiver 1. It's like pains us to move him down so far because we still want to see it. But, I mean, it's just he hasn't performed. I mean, I don't see how we can continue to rank him this highly when he hasn't shown up.
Okay, so I think first order of business would be, where would you rank him? So what is your rank? Ballpark. Give me a ballpark, Dylan. Where would you have a...
I think I updated the wide receiver rankings, and he was like low end 2, high end 3, but I feel like it could just go either direction.
Wide receiver 24?
I think he's like... Yeah.
He's 23 for Dylan and 22 for me. So not, and you have yet to update.
But for me also, right. It's 22 to 25, somewhere between them.
Yeah.
I had thought that he will be low end 2 for me.
And honestly, there is a very good chance that we should be even lower than him, that on him than we currently are. I mean, he hasn't done anything. He's
okay, so
ever since his huge campaign at 22 years old, 21, 22. He's done nothing.
He had
I have a take for that. Let me know if you guys agree. So he's 23.
Mm-hmm.
And after this year, he will definitely go somewhere else. Or Steelers will have to pay him, which they are not going to. So if he goes somewhere else, they look at his resume from all 4 years, right? There are some teams who need a wide receiver desperately, who are desperate for good wide receivers. So don't you think he will be paid like 13, 14 million per year? Because Randall Cobb got 9 a year. So don't tell me he doesn't get 13 or 14 per year at the minimum. And if a team is paying 13, 14 per year to him, don't you think he will at least get, you know, a wide receiver 2 role in that team? At least a consistent. And he's a slot guy. That's a big thing. I don't know why Steelers are not using him. And I can tell, I have a feeling why. Because their defense is so good. And so the other team is not scoring that much. And they are running the ball a lot. And then suddenly with play action, Ben finds Deontay or Claypool, who are wide open. They are very good receivers too. So that's why they are just making big plays instead of targeting the slot. So I think, you know, low end 2 should be at the minimum for him. You know, wide receiver 24-ish. And if someone is selling lower than that, I would buy, personally.
And I do agree, somebody's going to pay Juju. I mean, he has the talent on his resume in the past. However, I am worried about what will the landing spot be. As much as people love to hate on Big Ben, he is still a top 12 quarterback in the league, and he passes a ton. What if he goes to a situation like, what if the Jets? What if the Jets sign him? They don't end up with Trevor Lawrence, and they're stuck with Sam Darnold. Do you think his value still increases?
Yeah, because he will get the top. We don't give a fuck where he's going. We don't care if he's going to a winning team or not. We care about the targets. And if someone is paying you that much, the thing about outside receivers a little bit is that even if they get paid, there needs to be some chemistry with the quarterback to get the targets, right? Outside receivers have to win. But slot receivers, it's easy to win and the targets are short. So, of course, in PPR, he will get a lot of targets. Wherever he goes, you know, it does not matter.
Yeah, I have a few comments. So if it's the Jets with Sam Darnold, for whatever reason they do that, one, if Gase is gone, that's a good thing. Yeah. That's probably like the best thing too. And they actually played together at USC. So Juju and Sam Darnold played together. So they actually already have some chemistry. And Jameson Crowder's just like fucking Jesus Christ in that offense. So, you know, maybe if Juju gets there, you know. Or there's still Denzel Mims too, you know, but I don't know about the Jets. I will say the one thing that interests me about Juju is he kind of reminds me of Cooper Kupp as a talent. And, like, not necessarily play style, but, like, where they succeed. Both of them are pretty bad against man coverage, which is probably why they play the slot. And they still have their struggles in there, too, because they're slower guys. They're bigger bodies, but they're slower guys. So they struggle to get open. And if you look at their splits, according to Matt Harmon's reception perception, the success rate and all, like, the man coverage for both those guys are crap. But the zone coverage, they're incredible versus zone. So I wonder if he's faced man defenses these past 2 weeks. Now, I don't know much about like man versus... Obviously, I know that, but I haven't watched the games. So maybe we should look for him to face a zone-heavy defense and see maybe if that's a blow-up week. And then maybe we can go from selling from there. I still think you have to keep Juju. But it's so damn hard to keep him because... could he just be a one-year wonder? It's possible. And then you're just holding on to this guy and not selling him. He might get even cheaper from here.
No, the difference is that when Trenton said that Big Ben is passing a lot, no, he's not. His pass attempts has gone way down than, you know, previous years. When they had Antonio Brown and Juju, at 2 years back, their defense was crap. So they were throwing a lot. Now their defense is one of the best. And look at Connor. He's just getting so many attempts every week. He's doing so well. I think last week, Ben, threw only 22 passes. So that's a very low volume. You know, 30 is average. 22 is very, very low. Imagine how many targets will Juju get? Yeah. And Big Ben passes at least 5-6 to his running back. So you can always take out 20% for the running back. So that's the problem. They are not passing a lot this year.
That's why he's on this. That's why he's leading off this list of names that we're coming up with, though. The uncertainty around his future. I mean, he's right now he's not great, and he's honestly very underperforming and benchable in almost every given week. But what's going to happen next year? He could get better. It could get worse. There's so much uncertainty around it.
But for our listeners, this is what the bottom line I want to take, have a take from you guys. We are not trying to discuss what he's doing. Everyone is seeing what he's doing. But the bottom line is, are we buying? And I would say yes, because I feel this is the lowest his value can get. How? I don't see a path for it to go lower than this. How worse? Can he perform than this?
If he does it the rest of the year, or even if it's more like 30 or 40 yards, you know, that's possible too. There's a real world where he's the third most talented wide receiver on this team, according to the Steelers' eyes. Now, I think differently, but you know what I mean? Like, if they think Johnson and Claypool, they don't drop plays for him, you know?
But whatever he's performing, if he keeps performing throughout the year, it's already very down because people are thinking this is what is going to happen throughout the year. Yeah. But next year, it's going to be better, right? Don't you agree?
I don't know.
Next year is going to be better.
It should be better.
He's
But there's so many range of outcomes.
He's a guy worse. Right now where I'm not selling him if I have him, mm-hmm. but I'm also not buying him because, like, I don't want to risk because his value is still at a certain point where you have to pay a decent bit to acquire him. And if he doesn't pan out for the rest of the season and he doesn't pan out next place he stops, then that's just a waste of an asset. But if he does, then he could. I mean, it's a huge gamble. But I also his value isn't high enough where you could sell him for what you might want for him.
Yeah.
So you need to hold low. Him if you have him until his value spikes in a good week.
People are swapping Claypool for giving additional on top of Juju to get Claypool. Would you do that? I would.
I would trade for Claypool. I would give Juju and like a third for Claypool.
Now, see, as much as we talk about how bad Juju's been in like 2 weeks and like kind of how unproven he's been, Claypool's just as unproven. He's had two like incredible games, right? But you know, it's still just
three if you include his first game of the season,
where he made like one crazy catch or whatever it was. Come on, like let's be a little fair. But I want to bring up something with Juju here. I feel like a lot of us expect him to leave. So I have the top 10 teams here in cap space and just kind of like tender time will do. Just kind of like, let me know if you think that's good or bad for him. So Jaguars are the first one.
Good.
Jets.
Good.
Colts.
I think Jets are bad. Colts is interesting. Good. Colts is very interesting because I think they bring in a rookie next year. So he could come with a guy or come to the Colts and they bring in a rookie and they developed chemistry together. Like, it's not going to a quarterback who already has chemistry with guys on that team. That's an interesting one.
Jaguars is not that good. Again, I'll go back. Sorry. Jaguars is not that good because they already have Chark. But Colts and Jets definitely good because he'll be the number one regardless. Yeah,
and the Jets, they're definitely getting Trevor Lawrence, dude. Each week they don't fire Gase is another week where I'm like, dude, Trevor Lawrence is going there unless he says fuck the Jets. So, which would be hard because that's a New York market and that's like so much anyways.
I think the Colts are more interesting though because it's a lot less of a dysfunctional team overall than the Jets are.
I don't know.
Like, the Jets are a mess on both sides of the ball. The Colts at least have a few parts figured out.
Yeah, but then you look at the Colts and they're paying, like, I think, Brissett and, like, Rivers, like, $40 million combined or something. Yeah. Anyways, couldn't be my team.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, speaking
of... They have a lot of cap space, man. They have a lot of cap
They
space.
Do. That's why they're third, but
fourth... Their only quarterback on the roster that's currently scheduled to make money next season...
Jacob Eason. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's not money.
Team number four, this one's interesting. New England.
If Cam is there, it's very good. I mean, they use their slot receivers like anything. So, of course. You think he'll not be as good as Edelman? That's crazy to me.
Well, I think it'd be similar to what the situation he is in now.
Yeah, I kind of actually agree with Trenton because they just feed their back so much. Yeah, they feed their back so much. And then Edelman, if he's a free agent. If they re-sign him, I could see that happening. He's going to get some targets. And he'll play in the slot more than Juju because Juju can kind of play outside. Edelman, he can't too, but you want him in the slot. That's why Harry, who's another guy who they want to get the ball, whether or not he's good, not really looking like it. He should probably be in the slot.
But, if some team is paying him, why would they pay him for outside if he's not good?
I don't know.
They will obviously pay him for using him in slot, man.
Dude, New England ain't going to pay him anyways. It's such an anti-New England.
See, I think it's very interesting New England, too, because when you look back to when Antonio Brown and Juju played together, then they were both decent outside wide receivers, but they were both better in the slot. They were both really, really talented slot wide receivers who could both also play outside. And when Antonio Brown was giving them that opportunity to give them another slot receiver, Juju was going off. I think it might be interesting. Juju could play a lot better if he's forced to be outside but teams also have to worry about a really good slot receiver.
Yeah. Can I be honest? I feel like every receiver in the NFL is almost better in the slot just because they hunt for those mismatches more. I just feel like certain wide receivers need to be in the slot because they're going to struggle outside. Next team, Michael Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Michael Thomas is so great because of the slot.
Yeah. Next team is Washington. Football team. McLaurin's there, but they almost signed Cooper. I don't know. I could see him throwing money at a receiver.
Who's their quarterback? Justin
Fields. Anyways, Trey Lance. Baltimore? No thanks.
Oh, great.
No. Great?
They don't have volume.
No volume. Have volume.
I'm staying away from Baltimore.
Miami. I think that's really interesting.
That's very good.
Very good.
It's good, but he's also, I think he'd go to that team as the clear wide receiver too.
Why?
He believes in Parker that much.
I think DeVante Parker, I mean, I'm not like a huge DeVante Parker fan overall, but I think that he already has the Rapoport there, or he has the Rapoport there with,
Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick and Tua.
Well, not with Tua. We don't know that yet. But yeah.
Yeah,
well,
we don't know about Tua.
But practices and stuff, that, I mean, they've already been together. But he's already been on the team. I feel like at least early on, he'll have the number one role on that roster.
That's fair. I think Juju's more talented. But I think Miami would go for a speedier guy anyways, especially if they believe in Preston Williams, because that's like three big-bodied, slower receivers. That's not how I build my offense. Denver.
No. They will not sign him. They have enough receivers.
Right.
That's fair. Chargers?
No. Keenan Allen.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. Rookie contract. Nope.
Mike Williams looked good last week.
That's fair. Yeah. Cincinnati.
Boyd, no.
No. Boyd and Higgins are the future.
Okay. I'll give you two more just for fun of it. Tampa Bay. I could see him trading Evans. Anyways, it's a different conversation. No. And then Cardinals. No.
No.
So I feel like out of all those, my point is a lot of those situations, they could actually throw the money at Juju. Like, whether you believe it or not, you know, there's been some crazy things. But about more than half of them were good. So I guess it's possible. But the success rate of wide receivers after swapping teams, normally it takes a year or two. So
it's a bit different for slot, honestly. You'll have to agree. Slot receivers don't have to do much. The throw doesn't have to be that far. Quarterbacks are comfortable. If they are open, they will get it. So I don't see, that difficulty in slot receivers changing teams.
I guess we'll have to see. I don't know. Juju's fascinating. I was telling you guys before the show, I feel like I'm more confident about most of my takes. Not that I can't be changed on a take, but you know what I mean? Like, I have my reasons and I believe in it, and it'd be a little difficult for me to change my mind just because that's what I believe.
You're a dick about it.
No, I'm not. I'm not a dick.
No, I'm just kidding.
But, you know, it's just like, but this, I have no clue, and you can sway me on anything. But do we have anything more about Juju? 18 minutes of Juju. No. That's why we made the episode, you know?
Yeah.
I think Mike Evans is interesting.
Let's go to Evans.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Evans?
Well, I wrote down the name, so how about I go first? Mm-hmm. So I think for Evans, it's been interesting because he's put up decent numbers. But, like, the numbers have been the best when Godwin's been out, because Godwin's missed a few games. And then the one or two games that Godwin's played, he's like caught like two like 1 yard touchdowns, so like the week looked fine, but then you actually watch the game and you're like, holy shit. Like, Brady obviously prefers his backs and then running the ball, and then Godwin, and then, because, you know, I come as this is gonna get open, and you know, that's just kind of not his guy. Like, Randy Moss got open, Wes Welker, you know, even though Mike Evans is such a great talent, Gronk got open all the time. So, I don't know. Mike Evans. I mean, you guys seem less worried than me, but, like, I don't know. Like, his role just seems kind of, like, bad. And maybe I need to rewatch the games and look at the numbers, and maybe I'm remembering things wrong because I don't remember every box score of the numbers. But that doesn't matter as much as, you know. Anyways, I don't know. Am I right to have concerns?
Yes. Yeah, and the reason is their defense. I think their defense is just lights out. And Brady is not that kind of a guy who will just pad his stats. He mm-hmm. just wants to win. That's it. He's not like right. other. There are some teams who will just, you know, win by 20 or win by 30. Brady doesn't, you know, is not that kind of a quarterback, and neither is Arians. So that's why they're running so much. And I feel the defense is just so good. So there will be boom and bust games with Evans. You just have to live with it. There will, unless he gets a touchdown, you're just fucked. He's not going to get that many targets. And I'm concerned about Godwin too. I know people are like, you know, just Evans. No, Evans is better than Godwin as talent, honestly, I feel. Yeah. But I am concerned with both of their volumes, more with Evans.
And taking all the touchdowns out of it, he just looking at strictly at the yardage totals, so far this season in six games, he's had two games over 100 yards, which is good. He's also had three games with 10 or fewer yards. I mean, putting the touchdowns back in those three games, he has three total touchdowns. So he's still scoring in short yardage. But, I mean, that the yardage just isn't enough to help carry that over. Like, even if you have a touchdown, that's 6 points. Then you have another 2 yards through the air. So you have 6.2 fantasy points. In a PPR league, he has a catch. That's 7.2 fantasy points, even though he scored a touchdown.
Thing is
that's
that,
not good numbers.
Good thing is that his boom games can be a little predictable. If you think that the game is going to be competitive, then yeah, he will be very good. Because look at those 100-yard games. I don't think they were blowouts. Or maybe they lost in those games. It is quite possible. So, you know, I mean, if they are blowing out teams like Packers, they are just going to run. Ronald Jones has what, like 25 attempts? It's crazy.
Ronald Jones, by the way, has over 100 yards in his past three games. What the heck?
I know. Imagine trashing on them in some team, and then they just shit talk you in the family chat without calling out your name. Couldn't be me.
But going back to Evans, I will say on that, I mean, they did in their first game of the season versus New Orleans, that was his highest snap percentage of the year. He had 93% of the snaps. And in that game, he only had four targets. He had one catch for 2 yards and that touchdown that week. That was his. That was
what a
touchdown.
King.
That was the week. That was the week I was talking about, pretty much the 7.2 fantasy points. But I mean, that's he had 93% of the snaps, only targeted four times. Sure, there's other weeks you can throw in there, like versus Carolina, where he had 10 targets at an 87% snap share. But, I mean, the targets fluctuate so much for him, and the yardage isn't always there. So, he's very touchdown dependent so far, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I mean, I think we should ask the question, are we trying to sell? And I think I'm actually thinking about selling, just because, you know, Brady won't play forever. He's honestly looked fine. I feel like people were like, oh, Brady's gonna fall off a cliff. Dude looks fine. Not, you know, nothing terrible. But, you know, Brady won't be there forever. They look like a pretty decent team. Are they gonna be in a spot to draft like a decent quarterback? You know, I still have questions.
I would actually want Brady not to be there for him. Because if Brady is there, you know, the teams are respecting the pass game so much that the run game has become very, very good. And if they are running the ball like that, they are not going to pass.
Yeah.
So if Brady is not there, if any, you know, shit quarterback comes to Tampa, I'll be more happy for Evans.
I definitely think he could get more volume, but it's just like, I don't know you know what I mean? It's such an unknown. And if he's putting up these really bad yardage totals, I mean, he's catching touchdowns, cool, but I don't know. I feel like that's kind of replaceable, sort of. I mean, obviously, he's probably one of the best in the league at it. But, you know, do you trade him? Do you save that 15 mil to pay some of your younger players? I could see it. A stacked wide receiver class, like Trenton said, you know, we saw Stephon Diggs get shipped off that kind of because of drama. But, you know, he got shipped off and he got replaced. And that team seems to be doing fine, the Vikings, at least in that receiving. So,
if Evans is traded, that's the best possible thing for
I don't know. I don't know.
For us fantasy owners. I don't like him in Tampa, and I doubt they will trade him next year, because that's the reason Brady came to Tampa, because he had such a good supporting cast. So well, they are just win now. They will try to win this year and next year, and then they will, you know, tear down the team and build it again.
Yeah.
And see, for me, this is this is kind of like the Juju situation, except I think he currently has a decent amount of value to sell. Because, I mean, despite all these bad weeks of yardage and stuff, he's still scoring these touchdowns. His points are still up there. He's had 14 or more fantasy points in PPR leagues in 4 of his 6 weeks. So, I mean, you could still sell him away to an unsuspecting owner and get decent value for him. So I think this is the perfect time to sell. I think the touchdowns, he's not going to keep scoring a touchdown every single week. And it's just the yardage isn't enough to help sustain it when he doesn't score those touchdowns. So,
yeah. I feel like we should move on here. And I'm going to package two players together here because they're kind of similar. Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz. I mean, this used to be a duo that loved each other, right? I mean, Zach Ertz can't break a tackle, but Carson Wentz just loved targeting him because they didn't have the best receivers. And Ertz just looks so bad. That dude looks so unmotivated. He's playing like Kevin Love of the Cavs, where it seems like he wants a new contract or wants to be traded or something. He's just playing the crap instead of trying to earn it. And Wentz, to be fair, hasn't had the weapons. The offensive line's been injured. The weapons have been injured. But he still looks kind of rough. I think it's safe to say. I mean, Sinan, I'm sure you'll talk about how much you loved Wentz and maybe why you were wrong about it, which is fair. I did the same thing earlier in the show, but I don't know. What do you guys think about these two?
You go ahead, Trenton. I will talk later.
I'll start with Ertz. It's interesting because Wentz still seems to want to force feed him. He's had 5 or more targets in every single game this year. I believe the injury, he's going to be out for a few weeks. Probably till at least the bye week. But Wentz still seems to want to force feed him, and it's just the fact that he's not doing much with the ball. Sure, he has 1 week where he caught 7 of 10 targets for 70 yards. That's by far his highest yardage total on the season. His next highest is 42. You have 2 of them under 10 yards, 2 games. He's only scored 1 touchdown in the season, so it's not like he's as touchdown reliable. I mean, I just said Mike Evans wasn't reliable for touchdowns, but I mean, he's still scoring touchdowns is what I mean. Like, he's getting those touchdowns, whereas Zach Ertz is not. So that's not covering for him. The yardage isn't there. It's honestly, as soon as Goddard comes back from his injury, he's taking over as the top tight end. Clearly far and away. I think because he's so much more of a weapon than a 30-year-old Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
I'll talk about Wentz. Oh, go ahead, Dylan.
No, I'll talk about Ertz then. Yeah, I agree with Ertz. It's kind of hard to sell low, but I do think there's a world where maybe Ertz wasn't as talented and he was just kind of more of a volume play. I'm sure that's kind of false because you don't have like 1,000 yards for like a mistake, but I don't know. I just feel like he's a sell. And with Wentz, I'll let you transition here, but I just want people to remember that they did draft Jalen Hurts in the 2nd round. You know, that's real draft capital for someone we were all pretty confident on. And maybe we should have been like, oh, crap. You know, maybe it just wasn't an injury. Maybe they saw something we didn't. Go ahead with Wentz.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Wentz. And I thought he was in my top 7 quarterbacks before in the offseason, and I still believe in him. I think he's very good, and he has dropped off this year for sure. And I don't know, he's not very comfortable in the pocket, but his O-line has been totally devastated. Then he doesn't have wide receivers to throw to. All of the wide receivers that he had chemistry with, everyone is injured. So, I mean, you have to cut him some slack. And I personally am buying Wentz in Dynasty. His value has gone that down, and I still believe in him. Look at his contract. Jalen Hurts was just as a, you know, I think he was drafted to replace Foles to make sure that If Wentz goes down, Philly still has a competent quarterback to move forward, and they know that they have a decent shot at winning the NFC East and be in the playoffs. So they don't want to be stuck with, you know, a very bad quarterback in the playoffs. I think that was the main reason for drafting Hurts. Look at Wentz's contract, and I don't think Philly can get rid of him for the next three years at least. So I'm not worried about Wentz a bit, and I'm buying him wherever I can. As far as Hurts is concerned, I don't know what has happened to him. I really liked him. As Dylan said, that if a tight end is getting 1,000 yards year after year for at least last 2-3 years, maybe not 1,000, but very good yardage, he cannot be that bad. And he has looked good on field all the time. I don't know what's happened this year. It's all about the contract. I think he had very bad fight with the GM or something. And it's just off. He's getting the targets because Wentz really like him. You know that Ertz was the best man at Wentz's wedding, right?
Yeah.
They're very good friends. They're very good friends. So, I mean, maybe Ertz leaves the Eagles next year. But even if he leaves, you don't think he will get paid in the market? He's still 30.
I don't know.
He's 1 year or 2 years younger than Kelsey. Titans play till 35. I think he'll get paid, and if he gets paid like a, you know, top five tight end, he will be used. So what can you expect? Lower price than this? I don't think so. Maybe wait a couple of weeks and then buy.
Yeah, like
I think when he moves, if he does move on this offseason, I think there is just as good a chance that he goes to a team to be there. Backup tight end, as there is a chance that he goes to a team to be a starting tight end.
Backup?
Be the number two tight end on the team.
There's a lot of good tight ends in the league. Like young ones.
There's
coming
a
up.
Ton of good young tight ends in this league. And I feel like Ertz, people have seen him falling quite a bit this season. He's not been as good as he has in the past. I feel like recency bias will hold people off, and he'll go to a team to be their backup or their second tight end on the roster.
I see.
I doubt it, but
I don't know. I think Ertz has always been like a volume play. There's like a reason there's a Twitter account called "Did Zach Ertz Break a Tackle?" And all the tweets say, no, he didn't break a tackle. Like, there's more than tackle breaking in football, but like, you know, as a receiver, that's really important. So he needs volume to help because he's not really going to create much on his own, especially after the catch, right? So, you know, I don't know. Zach Ertz, like I said, I always thought he's more than just a guy, but he benefited a lot from Philly not having the best receivers. And with Wentz, because just look at like Carson Wentz, I don't know. Like, if you're a fan, you should send us an offer in the fan league because this will hurt none. But I'll hear out an offer on Wentz. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks look good in their second year or their third year, and then they kind of fall off. I mean, Jameis had some good years, genuinely. Marcus Mariota had some good years, and, you know, both of them are now backups, right. And we don't talk about them anymore. So, I understand Wentz had, like, an MVP year, and that's obviously a higher peak than those guys, but I'll hear out offers. I'm not selling if, you know, but...
Here's the thing about Zach Ertz. So recently, last week, I bought, of course, now it's blowing in my face because he got injured, but I bought Zach Ertz for Herndon and Logan Thomas. Would you do that deal? Would you rather have Zach Ertz or Herndon plus Logan Thomas?
Yeah, but we ain't talking about trade rapes out here. Anyways, go on,
Trent. Trade rape? Logan
Thomas?
Because his value is just so... No, it's Herndon. Did you hear Herndon?
All right, Chris Herndon and Logan Thomas.
Yeah, for Ertz.
Those are like two trash tight ends for, okay. I don't know.
Herndon is very young and people were like so bullish on him.
Yeah. Well, wait, can I ask you a trade question back? Would you buy CeeDee Lamb for a 2022 second?
We are talking about Ertz here.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, duh, I'm going to take a one-sided trade. Come on, man. Yeah, I was trying to say whatever you wanted to say.
Dude, this is not... I'm asking a genuine question that his value is that low. Would you not... Because you guys said that you'll not buy Zach Ertz. So I'm saying, would you not buy at that price? You guys are saying you're not two buys and then you're
yeah, but that's not every fucking league, bro. Like I'll try to go buy Ertz in a league right after the show if you want. Like no way that's happening. I don't know. We're talking too much about Zach Ertz, bro. It's Zach Ertz. He can't break a tackle.
I want to talk about Wentz myself.
Yeah, sure.
I want to bring up some numbers for him. He's thrown multiple interceptions this season in more games than he's thrown multiple touchdowns.
Nice.
His four rushing touchdowns aren't sustainable. That's what's helping carry him week through week is his rushing touchdowns. He's not going to keep scoring. He has four through six games. That's not going to happen. But like in going to the sacks, you talked about the offensive line wasn't great. He's been in his six games, he's been sacked five plus times in three of them. I mean, I love Wentz to death. I think he has a ton of talent. I mean, he was MVP candidate just a couple of years ago. He's still the same talent, but he's fallen off a lot. I feel like part of it is his weapons that he has, because Ertz a couple of years ago was still a top two tight end in the league. He was balling out, and back then they even had
was healthy.
A healthy Alshon who was balling out. Aguilar was balling out. I mean, he had weapons. Then now he doesn't have much of anything. Like, Goddard's his best weapon, and he's been missing for most of the season. And when Goddard comes back, I think Wentz's numbers will improve slightly. But, I mean, those multiple touchdowns or multiple interceptions in four of his six games, that's just scary to me.
Yeah.
Have you looked at his schedule? The field. Did you look at the? He has played Pittsburgh Steelers. He has played Baltimore Ravens.
He lost to a team called the football team because they're too dysfunctional to name themselves. Sorry.
But at that time they had Chase Young healthy. All of their defense was healthy. Their defense was very, very good.
What about the first week? Aaron Donald is great, but the Rams defense is massively overrated.
They are very good this year. Look at the Rams defense rankings. They are top five.
Okay, what about the Bengals?
Okay, yeah, I'll give you Bengals.
Two interceptions to one touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, he has not looked very good.
I agree with you.
He's played some good defenses. But, I mean, he's also, like, half of those defenses are mediocre to bad. So, I mean, I just wish he could see the field better. I mean, I think that's the biggest issue. He's not seeing the field as he did during his MVP candidate
campaign.
And drops,
man. Sanders, I mean, they are drops are hurting so many too. Balls. Yeah.
But that goes back to the wide receivers and the weapons that he has. Yeah, he doesn't have the weapons.
Travis Fulgham is his number one wide receiver.
Wait till Rager comes back.
By the way.
Wait till Rager comes back. Rager gonna eat, bro. We all like Rager on this show.
I'll make a bold statement. Travis Fulgham has better seasons than Jalen Rager.
Well, duh. Yeah, Rager's injured for the next 10 weeks.
No, better seasons throughout their career if they both stay on the same team. I think Fulgham is, if they're both the top two wide receivers on the Eagles next season, just for whatever reason, I think Fulgham has a very good chance to be the wide receiver one.
So you think Fulgham is legit?
I think Fulgham is legit.
Would you pay a 21-second?
Whoa, no. Hold that thought.
Probably, yeah.
We're moving on to Tinder time, and our first name is Travis Fulgham.
All right.
And that's how we'll do it, because we leaked into something else. Cool. Yeah. Travis Fulgham.
Swipe right.
Why?
Because whatever I have seen, he's a good contested catch guy. I like him, but not, you know, I'm not making that kind of claim that he's better than Rager. But yeah, I really like him.
How about you, Trey?
Hold on. Let me check the list again.
You're gonna super like him. Go ahead.
I'm I mean, looking at the rest of the names on our list,
you have to fucking super like him if you make a claim like that.
I'll super like him. That's my super like. Okay, look, but just looking at the numbers on the season in fantasy, look at the PPR leagues. If you look at just the average per game, he is the wide receiver one in fantasy right now, in average points per game. He's averaging 21.5 fantasy points in PPR leagues per game. Calvin Ridley is second with 20.2.
Because they have
There is that. But he is balling out. He's caught a touchdown every game. He's caught a ton of passes. He's got great chunk yardage. He had contested catches, like you said. He's everything you want. He's my super like. I mean, I'm trying to get him everywhere I can. Him and Chase Claypool are my two wide receivers that I am targeting most right now.
Okay. Good. I mean, I'll buy, I guess, but not as much as you guys, for like a third. You might be able to still get him to a third because people love their rookie picks. One thing I do want to say, though, before we move on with a lot of these names, is I still think rookie picks are interesting because the NFL season could still shut down. I feel like it could have already shut down if it was going to, but I don't know. It's something to keep in mind, guys. Next name, Kenyon Drake. Go ahead, Sinan. You can go first for each one.
Right, probably. I don't know. I'm torn on this. I think he will have good games when they are winning. He will have bad games when they are losing. It's just he's not getting all of the workhorse role that we thought. Edmonds is getting the third down role, so I am not a big fan now. But I'm still not swiping left because I like him when he's getting the work. So,
see, this hurts me so much because like last year, I loved Kenyon Drake. Earlier this year, I thought he would still be a really good player for the Cardinals. I am swiping left.
Attaboy.
Oh, I think Edmonds is slowly taking over that starting role. And Kenyon Drake, I'm swiping left because I feel like this game he just had is his only good game of the season. He's not going to have another good game like this. This is the perfect time to sell because he's not going to have another performance where you can sell high again.
Yeah, sell that motherfucker.
I have to sell high right now.
Yeah, we swiping left, boys. I mean, to be fair, Kenyon Drake kind of did the same whole thing last year where it was like he had a huge few games in the playoffs, but all the games before and after or whatever were kind of duds. I mean, this is Kenyon Drake special. I mean, it's like a number six with inconsistency. So sell that mofo. Keelan Cole.
Keelan Cole, swipe left.
I'm going to swipe left too.
Yeah, very inconsistent. Like, he's right. Good, but he's very
inconsistent. Yeah, swipe left. Who gives a fuck about Keelan Cole, dude? Alexander Mattison.
Left. He could not do anything against that juicy matchup. And Cook is back. I mean, Mattison is a backup, and that's how he should be treated. People are just very high on him for some...
Yeah, imagine buying him in the fan league. I don't know.
See, this one is very interesting. I'm actually going to buy because people are panicking. They're like, oh no, he had a very bad performance when he was the lead back, and we all expected him to do good. Let's get him out of here. I don't want him anymore. He's not a good handcuff. He's still a very talented handcuff. I think one bad game isn't enough to put him under the...
He's a good handcuff. I agree, but he's a backup. People are like, you know, suddenly they think that there is a possibility that he might take over. That's not happening.
Right. But would you buy him right now for a late third?
Yes.
Considering we fucking sold a second for him.
That's about the value that he has right now.
No one is. I have tried, man.
After that game, I guarantee you will go out and...
I'm willing to give early third, but no one is selling for early third too.
I'll send that trade right now in the league. But anyways, I don't know. I feel like you should swipe left or sell, because when we bought him in the fan league, people were like, oh, I would have given up a late first for him, or I would have given up an early second for him. Remember that? I mean, and then I was like, okay, we'll sell you Madison. Then none of the offers came. If you're listening and you're one of those people, you're a pussy and you pulled a Dylan Thomas when he said you Let's sell Godwin for CeeDee Lamb. Anyways, couldn't be me. But yeah, anyways, swipe left on him. Tim Patrick.
Swipe right. I like him. He's the number one wide receiver on the Broncos right now.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, though. I'm swiping left because it's right now. He's coming off a really good performance. But looking at the overall roster, for the future, he's the wide receiver 4 on the team. Because Courtland Sutton is coming back. Jerry Jeudy will be good. And KJ Hamler, who had a really good start to the season before getting injured. Once they're all back, he's not getting that volume.
This season is another sell high. Sometimes you can get him for a 4th, late 3rd, or whatever it is.
I
would buy. I would buy for a 4th easy.
If it's a 4th, I'd probably buy.
You have to win, though.
If it was a 4th, I'd buy, but I don't think it would be for a 4th.
Yeah. I'll swipe left. I don't think Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy are going to be really good. And Hamler, actually kind of a sleeper guy. So Cam Newton.
Not for future. We are talking about present, boy.
It's dynasty, bro. You always have to think about the future. I don't know if I'm contender or for sure, dude. But who gives a fuck about force? You know what I mean? Like, I'll sell my force every year, right? You know?
I'll send a 4th to help me maybe win this year. I still don't think Tim Patrick does much more the rest of the season. But
yeah, for the rest of the season, I like him. That's all I'm saying. I would buy him.
I think this was his best game of the year.
Yeah.
We'll see, okay.
Cam Newton.
So I think he goes down from here, but yeah.
Cam Newton, swipe right. Obviously, I like him.
After a bad game? Okay.
That's okay. It happens.
I'm swiping right because that bad game, his value is really low.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you could get him for a decent price. I mean, in Superflex, I'm swiping left, but in regular Dynasty, I'm swiping right.
Yeah, I'll swipe right too, just because of the fact that I feel like he's going to get every single goal line touchdown because Michelle's injured and then Damian Harris is kind of small. I don't know. He's the man. Mm-hmm. Speaking of touchdowns, and not getting them. Leonard Fournette, huh? What a guy.
Left. Swipe left.
Yeah, I'm swiping left. Ronald Jones has just shown too much the past 3 weeks. I mean, it's just... Yeah. I don't see how when Leonard Fournette comes back, even though I do think Leonard Fournette is a very talented running back, I don't see how you can take the ball away from a guy who's coming off 3 straight 100-yard performances.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Couldn't be me, but having him over Miles Sanders would be crazy if you look back on it. Anyways, yeah, I'll swipe left on him. He's too fat. He needs to go to the gym. I'm kidding, but no interest in him. Mike Gesicki.
Right. I'm buying him. I think that was a one game anomaly.
He's good. Yeah, I'm swiping right. I think he has the talent, and I like his opportunity more with Tua. Fitzpatrick in the past hasn't been a tight end guy. Tua, I feel like rookie quarterbacks and young quarterbacks, they lean on their tight ends more. So I think Gesicki with Tua gets a lot more volume than he would with Fitzpatrick.
Man, you're still on that. I showed you a study of like 20 years and showing you that the target rates were like 1% different. Anyways, agree to disagree. But I'll actually swipe left, which is a perfect transition, just because I feel like a lot of Mike Gesicki's production has come from when guys like Preston Williams have been injured or hurt, or you know what I mean, hurt receiving cores. I only see that receiving core getting better in the future. There's no way they don't draft a wide receiver or sign one. So I don't know. And Titans are more of a long-term thing, right? Anthony Firkser. I mean,
why do we have this name here? He's a backup Titan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, why try?
I mean, because his value is honestly pretty low right now. Like, even after a great game like that, you can get him for, like,
low?
A late 4th. Yeah.
No.
You can get him for a 4th.
No, you can get him on waivers, not on
4th. Yeah, waivers for if he's there. But he's a good buy because he's so cheap. You're telling me that you wouldn't buy a guy who just had 10 catches, 100-plus yards, and a touchdown, even if he's the backup tight end. Jonnu Smith goes down again. Boom, he's a starting tight end for you.
But
Jonnu Smith might be back in like a week or two. I have no interest.
Yeah. He will be back this week, man.
Okay.
I mean, okay, but take this into consideration. What if Jonnu Smith, maybe he stops performing as well and they give it to Firkser some more?
No. I mean,
Jonu Smith's been balling all year.
I'm saying it is very unlikely. It is highly unlikely, but there is a possibility. And there's a guy on your waiver wire that just proved that he can ball out in the Tennessee offense.
So you are swiping left on Tim Patrick, and you want Ferkser now? Really?
Yeah, I'll take Ferkser.
What the fuck is that?
Performed in the last two games, and you think Ferkser is a long-term play because we are talking about dynasties?
I think there is a difference between a third, a late third, early fourth round pick for Tim Patrick, and a guy from the waiver wire.
Oh, waiver wire, of course, I'll take him. But right. You said you're going to pick him. Yeah, of course.
I will give him. I will if I was working right
but
now.
Not
and somebody
fourth.
Had
I'm not
him,
giving a fourth.
I would consider giving a late fourth. Yes.
No, I will not give him a fourth.
Okay.
No picks for fucks, sir. Yeah, waivers. Of course, I'll pick up anyone on waivers.
Who gives a fuck about some guy I've ever heard of before this show? Honestly, you could have told me he had like zero catches. I would have believed. I'm kidding. I actually knew he had a touchdown. But final name.
Go rewatch the game, though. I mean, he was bawling out. Like that talent was there. You can't keep that talent off the field.
Yeah. So did Jonas Gray. 200 yards, four touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell. Speaking of touchdown machine, new Kansas City Chief running back.
Right, swipe right. His value can only go up. Well, why would it go down? I think his value is going to get up as the season goes by, and next year in the off season, probably his value will be okay.
This is a tough one for me. I think I'm going to buy as well because he is going to get those touchdowns. You look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You all said early in the season he's going to get the touchdowns. Who's going to give it to him? He has one touchdown. Come on.
He's had like three called back. Stop it. Lazy analysis.
I mean, he has on like 10 rushes inside the five. He still has negative yardage.
I give it to you.
They brought in Le'Veon Bell because they needed somebody who could pound it up the middle. And that's what Le'Veon Bell's going to be. He's going to be a touchdown vulture. And as you said, as I will quote you, Dylan, the Chiefs score a lot of touchdowns with their running backs. They have a lot of touchdown opportunity for the running backs. Now they have a guy who can score on the goal line. I could see a touchdown a game.
Yeah, possible.
I don't know. That's the Mike Evans special.
And they can throw him to him too. Around the goal line. See, even in last game, if you remember, when it was third down, short yardage, they gave it to Darrell Williams and not Clyde. So, yeah, I don't think they are trusting him on short yardage. He's their first and second down back because he's very good. He's very good. Buy him in Dynasty because he gets like 8 yards in the first, in the first carry. And then it's short, second and two or second and three. And they can do whatever they want. They can throw Chuck deep. They can run and the defense will be helpless. I think that's their game plan. And Bell will get the rest.
Don't make any mistakes. Clyde is going to be the top running back on the team. He's going to get the majority of the volume. However, Le'Veon Bell is going to get all the short yardage and goal line work.
He's
going to
get more than that.
He's going to take a lot of potential points from Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah. Edwards-Helaire kind of stinks because we love him so much. I mean, this is what you hate to see in fantasy committees. You heard me, Bill Belichick. Fuck committees.
We did expect a committee going into the season in Kansas City before Damian Williams.
Oh, before Damian
Williams?
Before
Damian Williams. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, anyways.
We expected it to be that, but... Now we're going to see what it was like.
Yeah. I want to give my Bell take. Bell, I mean, I don't think Sinatan uses super like, but I'm going to submit my super like today on Mr. Le'Veon Bell because every single player post-Gase has looked fucking phenomenal. And this is a guy that was the undisputed best running back, maybe behind Todd Gurley at the time, in the NFL before the whole contract thing with the Steelers and then he doesn't play. And then one of the best in the league. I mean, it's true. I mean, Sinatan looks angry, probably because he's having PTSD of Le'Veon Bell destroying his Ravens. But
no. Like him. I just said swipe right.
I know. I can't believe we're all buying Bell. What is this podcast? Oh, anyways.
If I have to go back and put a super like on someone, I think it will be Fulgham.
Okay. Anyways, no. Would Robbie Anderson looks like a fucking stud when Devontae Parker goes from absolute bust to 1,000-yard wide receiver? Still gives me hope in N'Keal Harry, but I think he's a bust. Anyways, when Ryan Tannehill goes from, this guy is like a six in a trade to franchise QB. I know. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, he's the most talented of all those guys, and now he's free.
But by the way, how good does Jamison Crowder have to be to actually be performing with Gase? Like, is he like a supernova wide receiver that is just being held back by Gase still?
Yeah, 5'8 Calvin Johnson.
What's happening?
Crowder was good in Washington. I really loved Crowder. And then he kind of shot the first year with the Jets. I love Crowder. Crowder's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, Megatron? Mini Megatron isn't DK Metcalf. It's good old Crowder. Yeah. Anyways, that's all the time we have.
Imagine Crowder in Kansas City. He will be like 2,000 yards per year. 4,000.
Did you hear the nickname they gave Chase Claypool, by the way?
Mapletron?
Yeah. What? Babytron?
No, Maple.
Mapletron.
Because he's Canadian. Mapletron.
Oh, he's Canadian? Okay.
He doesn't like it. Anyways, speaking of things we don't like, I hate you all. Just kidding. I hope you all are doing well. Please leave a like. If you listen this far and you aren't leaving a like, what are you doing with your life? I mean, there's much more fun people you could be listening to. But thanks, guys. Enjoy your rest of your day, listeners and viewers. Okay.